The Tedeschi Trucks Band is bringing their Wheels of Soul tour to PNC Pavilion on Friday, July 19th, and the next night, Saturday, July 20th, to the Rose Music Center in Huber Heights. With me on the phone is guitarist Derek Trucks. Thanks for taking the time to talk with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Blackberry Smoke and a group called Shovels and Rope are touring with you this year. How's the energy on this tour different from last year's with the Drive-By Truckers and the Marcus King Band?
You know, it's a little bit similar. I mean, the bands last year and this year, we didn't all really know each other all that well. I knew Marcus a little, but everyone connected immediately. You know, we started in Jacksonville in my hometown, and we had the bands come in a day early and had a cookout and a hang. So it's nice everyone gets to connect first. You know, it's not a ton of groups that tour as much and as hard as we do, and all the other bands on these Wheels of Soul tours seem to be in that small group. So there's already a camaraderie of just road dogs and lifers. So you kind of understand and respect each other right out of the gate because of that. But this, you know, this one's been unique. Shovels and Rope is a husband and wife duo, and they have their young kids on the road. So there's that connection, and there's a lot to talk about there, especially for Carrie Ann and Sue, because you know, that's a unique and difficult thing to pull off, is touring the way we do and raising children, and so that's a nice connection. And the Black Mary Smoke guys are just great, and they're, a lot of them are from Atlanta, so there's a lot of deep roots there. And Charlie Starr has been sitting in with us every night and just elevating the show when he gets up there. So it's off to a solid start.
Do you have your kids with you on tour this summer?
We do. You know, the summer tour is the one time we can just take them out and not have to worry about school and everything else. So they always come out on the summer tour. But they're, you know, they're 17 and 14 now, so we only have a few years left when we can just take them with us. Now they have agendas and things to do on their own.
I would think. Have they got college in the future plans?
Oh yeah, I mean we've on our last break before our European tour, we went and visited colleges with Charlie, our oldest, and Sophia. She was there, and you know, trying to get a head start on that. But yeah, it comes at you fast.
Well, since you were here last year, the band has released a new CD entitled Signs. It's on the Fantasy label. In-house effort, I noticed, recorded in your studio in Jacksonville, and you and a couple of fellows produced, engineered, and mixed it. You and your wife, Susan Tedeschi, wrote or co-wrote most of the songs. You must be really happy with how it turned out.
You know, I am. I mean, it was a tougher record to write and make just because maybe the subject matter was so close to home, and you know, there's a lot of raw emotions in some of the songs. So that kind of takes it out of you in a different way. But the making of the record and all the other work that went into it, it was so nice being able to do it in our studio and, you know, with the family around, and Jim Scott and Bobby Tees, who we've been working together for years now. I feel like we really have found a sound, and you try to push it forward every time, and felt really good about the way this one turned out. So yeah, it is a little extra satisfying when you do it from very beginning to the very end of the process, and you know, you get to be involved in all of it.
But it must have been hard to lose Kofi earlier this year, who's on keyboards on the album.
Yeah, I mean, I mean Kofi was just such a huge part of our lives and family and band. I mean, we were together for, I think, over 20 years, me and Kofi. So it's, I mean, that's one that I don't think we'll ever fully recover from losing him. And the way we did, I mean, we really thought he was on the mend and on his way back. And, he passed on the day the record was released. We were playing in his hometown. We'd kind of planned it to release a record in his hometown. We were so happy that he was back. You know, he'd recorded on the record, wrote a lot of the songs. So yeah, I mean, everyone's reeling from that. But we feel him every night. I mean, he was such a huge part of every song we wrote as a band. So you hear him every night. There's melodies and parts and things that he conceived that are just with you. Some songs are hard to play because of it, because you really do you hear him and you feel him, and then you look over and he's not there. So you know, there's a few moments every night where you look across the stage and you can tell somebody's having a moment, and you know pretty quickly what it's about. So, you know, we're in the process of processing that, but it's nice to be together as a band and be surrounded by people that knew him and loved him, and I think that makes it easier to get through it.
Well, I noticed on the album there's a feeling of loss, and in the lyrics and the importance of friends and family. It's been a couple of tough years for the band, hadn't it?
Yeah, I mean it has, and you know, you realize everybody deals with loss at some point. You know, it's something that when it's happening to you, it feels like no one understands it, but then you realize everyone understands it. So, you know, a lot of the record is about that, and it's about how you move forward, and then the Kofi passing on the day of the release put a lot of those themes to the test for us, you know, because I mean we were when I lost my uncle and Greg and the Colonel, these are people that were pillars in our life, always there, but they were Kofi was in the band, and Kofi was much more sudden and unexpected, so it was even another layer deep of trying to process that. But you know, like I said, being together and getting to play music has certainly been therapeutic.
Susan's song "When Will I Begin" brought up tears and lots of emotion when I listened to it. What was it like, the writing process on that one?
You know, she had written two different songs on acoustic guitar, and she had played it for me and a few of the guys in the band, and we worked up versions of them, and they were both just instantly you knew this is really good. It just made you feel a certain way, and but it felt like maybe it could be one song instead of two, so we arranged it the way that we did, and we only played it once or twice in the studio, and you could just tell it was, some songs just kind of play themselves, and there's something about a song that the person that's singing it wrote all of it, you know, so she, when she's singing it, she means it, because it's not somebody else's words, it's her words, and it's not somebody else's music, it's her music. So that one, I'm with you, that was one of the songs that when we were mixing the record, and every time we heard it, it just, that might be the highlight for me. And but yeah, that's all her, and that's another one that it feels really timely, you know, with all the stuff that's come out in the last few years, all the Me Too movement and all of that, I feel like that's a song that, I feel like that's maybe Susan's, not response to that, but just, you know, things grow out of people telling their stories.
And Strengthen What Remains, that's just typical of the strong statement of love that I felt in so many of these songs.
Yeah, that was a song that Mike Madison wrote. He was going to visit his aunt who was passing away. He think he knew it was the last time he was going to see her, and he wrote that song on the way to see her. And when he played it for us, it was just a devastatingly beautiful song. And then the way Susan sang it just wiped me out. And for me, the one of the other highlights on the record is the string, the quartet section that Kofi wrote and conducted. Just beautiful, a beautiful instrumental moment there in the middle of the tune, and then he takes a really short but perfect flute solo that's one of those timeless moments for me. I'm just really happy that happened. it was amazing being in the room when he was conducting those strings and just seeing how happy he was and hearing this sound in your head being brought to life. So that was one of those moments, while it was happening, you realize you were lucky to be there and lucky that it happened. So, you know, those are things that we, with Kofi, that you hold on to. You realize, you know, we were really lucky to be around him as long as we were, and he did a lot of good work. He left a lot of good reminders of how special he was.
And still, your mind must have been special with him too.
Yeah, and that, you know, he was a master at just sitting down at the piano. Or, you know, we'd be rehearsing or recording, but it was always the time when everyone was getting up to leave, and he would just play something off the top of his head, and it would often just be this amazing concept, this amazing movement, But he would always forget it. He would never remember what he did because he was just that kind of player. It was just always happening. And so I got to be better at having some kind of recording device around and capturing it, or while it was happening, and like, Kofi, what is that? Remember that. So that song was one of those sketches that Kofi just came up with, just kind of throw away. And the intro and the outro of the song was another time where we were getting up to leave the studio, and he was just playing this beautiful passage on the piano. And I was like, roll tape. we must remember this. And we ended up, the intro that we used was the one that we just kind of caught on the fly. It was just so beautiful. And then we finished writing it with me and Doyle. But 95% of the music in that is Kofi.
And I thought that the opening of Shame had a touch of the Allman Brothers to it.
Oh yeah, I mean that's one when we started writing it and playing it, I immediately thought this would be right at home on one of their records. So definitely a tip of the hat, whether we knew it or not when we were first playing it. But I mean that has that feel and that propulsion. You know, I could certainly imagine Uncle Butch playing drums on that one.
And the ending, which is the last song on the album, that was pretty special too.
Yeah, and you know that was a song that me and Susan and Oliver Wood wrote, sitting in a room talking about the Colonel and just writing. We wrote so many verses about him and just around that song, and just kind of condensed it down to what's there. And we recorded that demo, and it was hard to listen to. It cut to the bone so much. And, you know, the Colonel married Oliver and his wife, and I've known the Colonel since I was 12 years old, and Sue knew the Colonel before me, and Sue knew each other. So we all had a really way back and deep connection to him. And so writing a song about him and about, you know, that night in essence was, you know, cut pretty close to the bone. And that was one where I felt like it needed to be on the record, but I felt like it wasn't something that I ever really wanted to play. Maybe too close to home. So it's I think that's the only time we ever performed it was the time that we captured it. And another one where Sue just she gets right to the heart of the matter when she's singing it. It's you definitely feel it.
Well, getting back to the tour, your set list will probably change every night, but will you be performing some of the songs from the new album?
Yeah, we've been getting a few in every night, and really playing almost everything on the record other than the ending. I think we played everything. And a lot of them are just getting stronger by the gig. So that I think everybody in the band looks forward to playing the new stuff. It's just something to dig your teeth into and something that we haven't fully explored yet. And I mean, in some of the tunes, it's strange because some of the tunes that we wrote with Kofi and that we never got to play live with him. So, you know, some of these songs are really the first times we're getting to air them out. Which is, in some ways, it's great because it's, you know, it has to be a new beginning for the band. You're never going to replace somebody like Kofi. It's just an impossible task. So you have to reimagine things, and it has to be a new chapter. You honor him at all times, but it has to change, and it has to be something else. So getting to play these tunes and reimagine them has been nice too. And it's nice seeing that looking out and you play a song that you played once or twice and you realize people know it and they know the lyrics to the tunes. And that's a good feeling. That's kind of new to me.
And the band's going to be at Clapton's Guitar Festival in Dallas, September 20 and 21st. That must be a really fun reunion.
You know, it is. We've done a few of them now, and it's always a trip. I mean, the first one we did, you know, there's B.B. King's there and Johnny Winter and Hubert Sumlin and a lot of your heroes, and you know a lot of them have passed on, so it's a different reunion now, but it's still great to get everybody together. And it's always a good day when you get that invite in the mail, and I think it'll be really good for the band.
And one last question, your band's playing at the Beacon Theater in New York City, September 27th through October 5th. 4 dates are already sold out. What's behind this long engagement?
You know, that's a tradition that started, I mean, for me, it started with the Allman Brothers. I think maybe from 19, 90 or 91 on, they did a residency at the Beacon. And when I joined the Almonds, they were up to 12 to 15 shows and, you know, in a month. And there was just something about the energy in that room and the crowds that would come out. And you see a lot of familiar faces from night to night, but there, you know, there'd be a lot of people that only make one or two shows. But there's just something about that city and that theater. So when we were starting to think about where we wanted to play in New York, we did a gig at the Beacon and it felt great. And then we did two nights at the Beacon and then like, you know what, let's try to continue the tradition, you know, in our own way. I wanted to move it away from March because I didn't want it to be too close to the every March the Allman Brothers are in New York. I feel like that was their thing, and you can't recreate things like that. So we put it in a different time of year, so it's a different feel up there. But the Beacon's just a special place, and it's great to walk into the rooms where, you know, it's the same union guys that have been working there since I joined the Almonds in 99. There's a lot of familiar faces. And, I mean, when our son, Charlie, was 10 days old, he was in the sixth-floor dressing room at the Beacon Theater. So it's he's been there every year. He's 17 now. Every year he's been up at the Beacon for at least a handful of shows. So it's a full-on tradition for us.
A lot of memories.
Yeah, there is. You know, and doing this summer tour and playing a lot of these venues, there's a lot of memories. I mean, you go to these backstage areas and having been there with the Almonds and a lot of other bands, you remember whose dressing room was where, and you remember different rehearsals you had in different places. So there's a lot of ghosts in these places for us, but they're good. They're good memories, you know. At least 90%+ of the memories are good. I'll take that.
Well, thanks for talking with us, and we look forward to your Wheels of Soul tour when it comes to the area.
Awesome. Well, thank you for your time, and we will see you soon.
All righty. Be safe on your journey.
All right, you too.
The 12-piece Tedeschi Trucks Band will bring this year's edition of their Wheels of Soul tour to PNC Pavilion on Friday, July 19th at 7 o'clock, and Saturday, July 20th at 7 o'clock to Rose Music Center in Huber Heights. Opening acts are Blackberry Smoke and Shovels and Rope. I'm Lee Hay.